I know your pastor, he began to share with me, and I didn't say anything. I was busting at the seams to say something. But he shared with me coming here today what he had been preaching to you. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And he just kept talking. He was excited about his message. So I heard his message in Romans, what he's been preaching to you. A condensed version real quick from Kentucky Murray across the line to here. Condensed message. And I didn't say anything to him. I just said, brother, I don't want to preach to you before I preach to you. I don't want to preach to you before I preach to you. He'd say something else. He's wondering why I was quiet. I don't want to preach to you before I preach to you. But what I want to give you today, and this is confirmation all the way. I know why the Lord wanted me to preach this morning as an evangelistic confirmation from, he said a while ago, the evangelist viewpoint. Because there is also, before I preach, pastoral glasses in the fivefold. There's five sets of glasses in the ministry. There's a pastoral glasses, and then there's evangelist glasses. When we read, we see things the same truth, but from a different angle to give to the people. So my text this morning is Romans chapter 1. I'm not kidding you. And I'm not saying it because I said, God, do I have to? He's already covered everything. You know Eric, he'll cover everything from every angle. Greek, Hebrew, upside down, right side up. Amen. As I observe traveling around, watching what is going on, because a lot has happened since I was here last, I also told you, watch the escalation of the things that have happened since. If I see you again, we will talk about the things that have happened. I want you to open up to Romans chapter 1. And I want to talk about something before I get into it. You can start the recording now. Thank you, brother, if you don't mind. I want all this on CD. And then I want to make comments because it's very important. Teach, preach, but you'll never forget what you're about to hear. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. You have Romans 1 ready. He wrote to the church at Corinth what I see going on. He made a statement to them that is so powerful in Corinthians. And remember, it's not the Catholic church at Corinth, it's the Pentecost church. And he wrote to them and he said, I've got a fear above all fears. This is why I toss and turn at night about. I've got a fear above all fears. And I want you to hear this. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Not even about an act that your body commits, but that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. If he can get your minds corrupted from the truth about marriage, from the truth about sexuality, from the truth about the way church ought to be, if he can corrupt your mind from the simplicity, Paul stressed, that is in Christ, forget, it's not about whether you committed an act or your child did something they wasn't supposed to do. It's about a mindset. He's got you. If he can get you thinking something other than what you ought to be thinking, he's got you. Don't matter if you commit the act or not. You can sit and never commit it, and your mindset can damn you as though you're committing it. We all know that our children are going to face two questions. And you're going to try to make you, these right here. They're going to try to make you look like an idiot if you answer the real answer. From school to church even, to talk shows, Oprah to Ellen to NBC, ABC, presidential candidates, White House. Do you really believe that Jesus is not just a way or the best way? You're telling me, let's get this clear for our viewing audience, you really believe he's the only way to eternal life? You radical Christians, watch it. You're telling us mindset, he's the only way And the second question on any talk show preacher ever goes on, ever, study for these two questions. What about gay marriage? Why the cameras are in your face? What about gender? What you think about Bruce Jenner? What about Caitlin? Can a gay go to heaven? If they live continually without this repentance, you all say they must do? So these are the two questions, and I'm sad to say most preachers of the mega churches that get the opportunity to go on world television, they flunk. No, they don't make a D, they make an F. If I was grading, they get an F. I'm not going to call names, but I'm thinking about them right now. And they keep answering wrong, and we'll call their names out. I'm sick of it. I'm not in a popularity contest. If you love those preachers, shame on you. I wouldn't give them a dollar, and I wouldn't buy their book. If they can't answer, is Jesus the only way? Is He the only way to eternal life? You better believe He is. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Can gays go to heaven? Yeah, like a heterosexual adulterer, like a child molester. If they repent, and follow the pattern of the Bible, they can be delivered. Are you still with me? Now, God made a statement to me, and I want you to hear this. Before we read this text, I'm building it. He said, I want you to tell the people, and I want you to tell the preachers. I want you to tell the Spirit-filled preachers that aren't saying anything. They're holding back. When someone asks them about gay marriage or whatever, the 5-4 Supreme Court vote, their answer is, they're waving their hand, I'm not going there. From Hillsong in Australia to Joel Osteen, and we go on and on, they'll wave their hand, I'm just not going there. Well, Joel, Hillsong, you just went there. When you with your mannerisms waved your hand saying, I'm not going there, don't ask me, I'm not going there, look at me, you just went there. You went there in the sight of God. And that's when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me in a warning as an evangelist in the body. Listen what He said to me. He said, you tell the preachers whatever they allow in my house, I'll allow it in theirs. This non-passive or this passive spirit of, I'm not going there, I'm not touching it, grace, brother, grace. He said, you tell them, make it clear, Robbie, whether they have you or not. Because they're not going to have you anyhow. Because of what you preach. You tell them, that pulpit, whatever you allow by passively not mentioning it. Not bring it, not want to talk about it. Whatever you allow in my house, He said, I'm going to allow it in yours. The law of reaping what you sow. What was it about the antediluvians? Paul dips his pen in ink, writes to the Pentecostal church at Rome. Again, not the Catholic church. He's writing to a persecuted Pentecostal church. He talked about the antediluvians. The antediluvians, I'll mention a few more times in this message, are those that died in Noah's flood. Now stay with me on this. Those that died in Noah's flood. There were four different times we know of, other than a few places that the ground opened up, and it wasn't the devil, it was God, that swallowed them because of things going on. There's four definite times we know this happened. The flood, where the grace, mercy, and the wrath of God joined together, watch it, the abused grace of God, and wiped them out in the flood. We're starting all over. Wow. God did it, not the devil. And by the way, Jesus is God. You with me? Jesus is God. He didn't start in Mary. So you want to get technical? Jesus is the one that flooded the earth. Jehovah God, we got this mentality. Jehovah God was here, the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the Father said to the Son and his brother, you need to turn your head because I've had it and I'm fixing to wipe out this place. So we act like Jehovah God did it. And Jesus said, oh Father, please. Jesus is God in flesh. He is God, three in one. He's always been God. You ready? All you unbalanced grace people that don't believe grace would ever do this, Jesus flooded the earth. He knew what was going on. He didn't turn His head. The Father did it and Christ come back. God, Father, what did You do? Why did You do this? He's God. You still with me? Good thought there. Now watch this, what I'm saying. The antediluvians are those that died in the flood of Noah. Jesus is asked by the disciples, what is the sign of your coming? What are the signs? He went into the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, pestilence, famine, disease. You can calculate. It's all going on right now, but do not waste all your time by getting on a computer, and don't waste study time by counting earthquakes. Just trust me. Don't try to impress people by telling them how many earthquakes are going on every day, because you can't keep up with it, and a computer can't either. They're that relevant and rampant right now. Escalation. He went to the condition of men's hearts. Here's the key sign above all the stuff that can happen in the natural. He went to the hearts of the people, their view toward the Word of God. Men that will be, in the end, that will by fire when the purging happens. He flooded it the first time. Peter said the earth's elements, not the earth, the earth's elements would melt away with a fervent heat. And I want to bring to your attention what Peter had to say about Noah. Peter, out of all the apostles, mentioned Noah and the flood more than all of them put together. More than Paul, James, and John, and all of them. Peter talked about the flood and Noah. And he's going along and he said, and Noah, comma, a preacher of righteousness. And Noah, comma, a preacher. He put a title on him. A preacher of righteousness. Not a preacher of faith or power. Not a preacher of prosperity. He said, a preacher of righteousness. Then he went into what he said and what he did about getting on the ark. Watch it. Group discussion, disciples said, Lord, what will be the signs of your coming? As it was in the days of Noah, where he's talking about the condition of men's hearts and their view toward the Word of God. Their view toward righteousness. So you know what he did? Here we go. He took the first generation right here that stepped onto the ark. And I want to bring these nuggets to you as I'm thinking about them. Then I'm not going to expound on them. We'll hit it. It's going to be a great nugget for you to think about. You won't forget this. It'll jump your spirit. Do you think Noah just had 7 relatives? 8 got on the ark. You just got 7 relatives? Noah lived a good while too. He built the ark 120 years. And I want to say this to you. This is good. I'm a grace man like the teacher this morning. We're saved by grace. But can I be honest with you? First place that grace is found in the whole Bible is Genesis, right off the bat, first book. It says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But can I be honest with you? Noah wasn't saved by grace. He's saved by obedience. He wasn't saved by grace. He was saved by obedience. What do you mean obedience? Noah, pick up a hammer. 120 years. He told him the time. Build that ark. 120 years. He's working. He's building an ark because he was saved when the flood came by obedience. Not by running around saying, me and my family will just stand here and the water will be all around us, but we will walk on dry ground and God will swoosh and whoosh the water by the grace of God. We'll just walk on the earth with the ground. Look at that. Look, children, at the water. He made him build the ark and God didn't build it for him. God didn't hold one nail up or whatever he did. Listen. He had to build it. He had something to do. Hear me? Obedience. Noah had more than 7 relatives. And I'm going to throw this on you. Ooh, here we go. I'm not mean. It wasn't just adults in the flood. It was the entire earth. It wasn't just, accountability, 12 or 13 year olds and up. I'm sorry. Life was going on like it is now. There was newborns. There was 1, 2, 3 day old. There were week old babies. I'm sorry, but there was 1 year old, 2 year olds, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, all the ages. There was all the ages on the earth. Life was going on like it was. The generation, the parents had totally forgot God. They were doing their own thing. They viewed the prophets. They tell us right before the flood, men would spit in the air when the prophets would preach. When the men of God would speak for God, not about Him. People would clear their throats out loud and hiss like snakes. So that you couldn't hear the word. And he said the last civilization will be just like the first one. Wow. So he said, you take a line. The first generation, second, third, first one, those that stepped on the ark. So not all of Noah's relatives got on the boat. First generation stepped on, second generation starting, stepped off and started repopulating. Here we go. First generation in a line, step them back. Take the first one, you move back. Second one, third one, up to the next to the last. World War II veterans. World War II. Our World War II people. When in America, men feared God that wasn't even born again. Men feared the Lord that wasn't even born again. They wouldn't pull up on a church parking lot and honk a horn out loud. Afraid they would interrupt what's going on inside and didn't know anything about God. Couldn't find Genesis in the Bible. But there was a reverence during our World War II when the children obeyed God. When the children obeyed their parents, that didn't even know the Lord. You ready? The first one steps back, second, third, fourth, fifth, up to the next to the last. What mine and your family was raised in and living in. Take that generation, keep them in the line. Take the last one, which he and I believe is ours. Step it back and look at that first one. You got the first one stepping back. You got the second one step back. You got those that died in the flood. Now you got these. Watch this statement. AIDS broke out among, I don't care what you say, I was there in the 80s. I studied it. Among the male homosexual population. AIDS began to be spread like crazy. Yes. There were men that got with women, heterosexual women, that met bisexual men in clubs or whatever that had AIDS. And they spread it to the females. And the female unfaithful took it home to her boyfriend or her husband. That was a heterosexual man. And welcome to the domino effect. And it took off. Yes, it was in blood. Some of them gave blood. Yes, some innocent children and all needed blood transfusions for disease and car accidents. They didn't screen it properly. Didn't know what they was looking for. All of a sudden, yes, it spread. But I'm telling you now, the AIDS virus spread among the male, not even the female lesbians, the male homosexual population. And I'm not going into detail, but what happens in their bodies is easy to spread it. Stay with me. Two scientists were on this show in the 80s. One of them was studying, atheist. One of them was studying the AIDS virus. The other one was getting answers, forming the talk show. He said the human body is the greatest incubator for the AIDS virus. The temperature, the moistness of the tissue, it can live forever and be transferred one to the other sexually. Because everything was being taught back then. Oh God, can you sneeze and get it? What if someone coughs and I walk by sucking the moistness off the air? Oh, can you get it out of a salad bowl? That was a big deal. Can you buffet restaurant, people pull back from salad bowls. The moistness of the salad bowl and the temperature under the lights, the scientists said, well, it can live in that because of the temperature and the moistness. They wasn't sure. Watch this. But he said the human incubator is the greatest incubator of all. And it just keeps getting past and keeps living like it's still living today. And the other one said, my God, man, if it just keeps spreading. He said, how could we kill it? He said, there's only two ways. He said, you'd have to flood it with water and totally drown it, take all of its oxygen away, the studying one. Or he said, you'd have to burn it with fire. You've got to flood it and drown it. Let it not up for air. Or he said, you've got to burn it with fire and totally annihilate it. The earth's elements will burn with a fervent heat in the last days. The earth's elements, not the earth. I want to read. I know you've already studied this, but I'm going to show you from probably a different angle. Romans 1:21, as Paul writes to them, and I want you to look at the mentality and think about nearly everybody we know. Seriously? Your relatives and mine, my friends and yours. Romans 1:21, Paul talking about antediluvians, said, because that when they knew God, put your finger on it, look up at me, they wasn't atheist. America, they knew God, but here's where the process began. They refused to glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. So what happens? Think about everything happening now. They became vain. Where did it show up? Knowing God and refusing to glorify Him as God. They became vain in their imagination. Excuse me? Their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed. They had this thing about changing everything. Changing their body. Changing creation. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to full-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore also, what Pastor Eric preached to you about, God also, underline it, gave them up to uncleanness. What did He give them up to? Uncleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts. How did it show up? What was going on inside? To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here's your Bruce Jenner. Now we're getting into this stuff. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Here's your 5-4 Supreme Court vote. Here is your Bruce Jenner scenario. Here's your transgender, transvestite, male, female, born like this, born, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, created things, things they would create, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, what cause? What we previously read. Number 2, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now listen to me, Oprah lovers and Ellen lovers and everybody else that cannot go a day without watching the television show. When you hear them say that, oh, homosexuality and all that, say Old Testament. Leviticus. Oh, you want to go to the Old Testament, Oprah? Okay. It's an abomination for a man to lie with another man. Heterosexual sin, two young people fornicating, adulterers, it's wrong. It's a sin. You with me? They got to repent to make it. But God never called fornication or adultery an abomination. He never even called a man looking at a woman to lust after her an abomination. But the act of male homosexuality or lesbianism is an abomination of the Lord. I'm going to say it as bad as it sounds. He didn't even say a child molester was an abomination, though it is. I'm telling you what God said. And in Leviticus and another place in the Bible, Old Testament, He said, if they continue in this, the earth will vomit them up. God gets graphic with it. He said, and the earth shall vomit them up. Now, I'm nice. Hold on. Don't jump to conclusions here. Let me finish. He gave them up unto vile affections. Here's where New Testament Scripture proves you're not born like this. Something happened to you. We can get you free from it. We can reverse it. For even their women, what women? Those that died in the flood. Those that didn't get on the ark. Those that laughed and mocked at it. For even their women did change. They wasn't born like this. They changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving. Underline the word leaving. They wasn't born like this. They left the natural use of the woman. For you to leave it, first you got to be there. These are heterosexual men and women that left the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. And here is where King James kind of throws you off. Here is where the New Testament talks about perverted sexual transmitted diseases. At the end of 27 verse, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So we don't talk like that. And receiving inside their bodies the transmitted diseases from the perversion is what he's saying. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They wanted to learn about technology. Oh, they had technology like we do today, that'll turn you into what you want to turn into. Our technology, which probably the Obama health care will eventually pay for. And if it doesn't, you got enough money. See, I believe we're facing this. You want to be a woman? Would you like, you got the money, first of all. You want to be I'm not kidding. We're creating things, man. We're creating things. Do you want to be a woman on this side? I believe, mark this down, I'm saying this. We'll make you a man on this side. Why don't we make you both, right here and here? Why don't we split the difference, make you a man on this side, woman on this side, then you can get with whoever you're going to get with. They play with you however they want to play with you. I'm not being cute right there. I'm not laughing. This isn't a joke. We are seeing and we are going to see. These kids right here, Let me tell you the title of my message when I read this. They didn't retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So they were filled. Same Greek word with being filled with the Spirit of God. They were stuffed and gorged. Stuffed and gorged and running over. The fruit outside was evident of what had happened inside. What can you be baptized with other than the Holy Ghost? You can be baptized in unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, those right before the flood. They were full of envy, murder, spirit of murder. I kill anything that disagrees with me. Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, gossipers, backbiters, haters of God. They were despiteful, proud, boasters. Watch this. Here's my point to our technology. Inventors of evil things. Come on, Bruce. I love Bruce. He needs to be born again. I would tell him I love him. I don't mind hugging Bruce Jenner. Probably different than he's ever been hugged by a heterosexual man. I'm going to hug him different as a man of God and tell him I love you, man. I can help you. Don't kill yourself, which you'll probably wind up doing. Transgenders, nearly all of them kill themselves. You know why they commit suicide? They think the sex change is going to fill the void inside. And they wind up finding out, my God, I'm more miserable now. I can't find what it is. Hear me. I've got grace. I've got mercy. But I've got to preach the truth. Watch it. Inventors of evil things. And right after that in the category, disobedient to their parents. Without understanding, those kids in the flood were flooded. They were disobedient to their parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Brother Eric, look at 32. We started with 21. Because that when they knew God, but they refused to glorify Him as God. We end with 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. They wasn't an atheist. Those that died in the flood, they believed the judgment of God was real. They didn't believe. They wasn't an atheist when it came to hell, located in the center part of the earth. They believed in it. They didn't care. They got to a place that they didn't care anymore. They only lived for fulfilling what they wanted. Please listen. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. But it said not only did they do them, they had pleasure in it while they did it. All they wanted to do was have fun. I want everybody to shut up, leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. Don't say anything about it. Please listen to this today. I'm dealing with the subject today. I feel sorry for you. You have been born right now into one of the weirdest generations ever. Matter of fact, let me be honest. You kids and my grandkids, you're not born in a generation. You're born into a generation. This right now, this last generation that's going to be taken care of by God, just like the first one that wouldn't get on the ark. You are now raising your kids and birthing our grandkids into no longer a generation. But the title of my message this morning, we have now entered into a G-E-N-D-E-R, generation. Let me say this before I go any further. As bad as sin is, God's grace, I know it, it's so extravagant. That one prayer, one true repentant prayer will overcome a lifetime of sin. But here's the mentality that was flooded the first time that's going to get left behind when the trumpet of God sounds on the earth and be renovated, the earth's elements with the fire. Listen, here's where we live in right now, a mentality. So what you're saying, if I simply repeat the Bible, I'm judging you. If I don't even give an opinion, but if I just repeat what the Bible said word for word, then what you're saying as we deal with this subject that I'm judging you. Exactly. That's where we are. And let me say this to you to start on a positive note so you won't think that I'm just ridiculous. No matter who gets president, Jesus is still king. No matter what party, Democrat or Republican, rule in Congress and Senate, I'm telling you now, Jesus is still king. Then where are we going with this today and where are we at and what exactly, Robbie, are you trying to get us to see? This generation will end just like the first one. And when I hear all the guys on TBN sit around high-fiving, waving their hankies, whatever, and it's not even a Christian show anymore, it becomes like a circus. And everybody's talking about, man, revival's coming, and selling their CDs and DVDs and whatever. That revival's coming and it's about to sweep America and all that. I'm an evangelist. I'm telling you now, I disagree with that. I think we will glean some from the system, but I'm going to show you tonight, this morning, exactly what has happened. What happened to the antediluvians is exactly what's happening to our relatives. If you and I, the importance of this message, and don't speak up, and I'm diagnosing now. I'm in the midst of this message of diagnosing. I've got to get you to see it. Because some of you, like every church, are too passive about it. You're just talking grace, and well, Lord loves them. And these are your type of situation. Listen, my main deal, when the Bruce Jenner deal came out, I watched him in 1976. I was 15 years old. I watched him in that decathlon, the event of all events, the athletes event in the Olympics. 10 decathlon, 10 events from sprint to long distance run to pole vault to broad jump to many different things. I watched him with that Russian. I watched him with that tight shirt on. And I'm going to say it in mixed company politely. He didn't have breasts. He had a nice chest. The hormone, the testosterone was there. And I watched him whip that Russian, whip that Chinese. And I watched the pride in America. Because I'm telling you, he was a man. He's a man. His voice was a man. His interview was a man. His brain was a man. It was a man's brain. It wasn't nothing female about him. Are y'all with me? I'm not saying he didn't have thoughts. I don't know what he's thinking. He said he had thoughts back then. He'd been battling some thoughts. Okay. I'm going to tell you something. When he married that Kardashian family, you better hear me as a Pentecost preacher. You desensitized Christians that let your girls watch it. You better hear me. You even caught yourself as parents, hear me, being entertained by that hell. That heterosexual hell. I want them. I want them to be saved. I don't mind sitting down with Kim and all of her sisters and the mama too. They need Jesus like Bruce did. And I know I'm being plain, but I've got to shake you and shock you because of where we are so desensitized. We're just like the crowd that got flooded. The desensitization of good versus evil. They didn't even recognize anymore. The definition of a reprobate mind. Watch this statement. Pastor, you're going to love it. The definition of a reprobate mind is this. It sees good as evil and it can't help it. And it sees evil as good. It sees the Kardashian show as funny and fun and let them live. Man, it's what we're living. America dream is all about. They look at me and you like imbeciles, that we ought to be locked up. That I'm an idiot and you're more of an idiot for coming, giving me an offering, sitting here and letting you and your family hear me. Here is their mentality. Totally opposite. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. They would mock Noah. They would scoff him. Probably parents right before the flood, as Noah was hammering away and building the ark, probably the parents would take their sons and daughters and go, honey, you know when daddy mentions the word idiot? That's what an idiot is right there, honey. They taught their kids mocking the man of God, scoffing at the righteousness that he was preaching. As Noah talked for God, as he was building the ark, preaching 120 years, every time that hammer came down on a piece of board, or every time he tied something together, that ark was screaming out. The ark, which was Christ, was screaming out that this is it. This is your redemption. Get in the boat. Change. Repent. Something's coming. Something's coming. Something's coming. And they mocked and scoffed at him the entire way. And it will be identical. That first generation will be identical to the last one. And you can take those two and put them on a bologna sandwich and they're the same. Take the second next to the last, squeeze all them together. The attitude of the people toward the things of God will be identical. But watch that first one and that last one. Christ answered the disciples. Are y'all ready for this? Here's where you balance out the grace of God. Here's where you balance out the grace of God. When they say, "Boy, Robbie, y'all are mean like that. Y'all are mean preaching like this. Y'all are mean talking like this." Watch this statement. You said you mentioned to the people three times in Romans 1. God gave them up, gave them up, gave them over. God gave them up, gave them up, gave them over. Please write this down and memorize it. Lord spoke to me. People say, what about His grace? All this turning over. You said He's graceful. Noah found grace, Robbie. What about all this? What about the grace of God that... Here's what I want you to get. Nugget. The wrath of God is not just Him turning His back on you and say, go to hell. Just go to hell, you and your kids and everybody. Just go. Watch it. The wrath of God is not Him turning from you. The wrath of God is Him turning you over to yourself. The wrath of God is an individual, a family, or a nation that continues to do their thing, that will not listen to Him. Children that are untaught by their unrighteous parents. Unrighteous kids that are being bred. Listen to me. The breeding. You're just, listen, heterosexual couple, unrighteous. You're pumping out unrighteous kids everywhere. You're pumping them out. You're producing them. You're creating their unrighteousness with your lack of discipline, your lack of knowledge, your lack of teaching them. And it's spreading like a stinking virus, man. It's spreading like the bubonic plague. It's wiping people out spiritually. Undisciplined children. Unlearned children. Children that want to learn everything else. Our text said in Romans 1, they want to learn everything. They mark success by how your kids were learning the newest technology. But they learned everything and taught it except Christ, except God. And He gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them over. He turned them over to Himself. And He pulled back. You don't want me? I've tried everything I got. Here's my point. It said real quick in our text, He turned them over. What did He turn them over to? Uncleanness. He turned them over to uncleanness. What happens when you turn an individual, a family, or a nation over to uncleanness? They worked out through the lust of their own hearts. It said they became, whatever's in you comes out. They began to dishonor their own bodies. My God, like a piece of meat. They dishonored. They're like, you feed your dogs, throw the meat in there and let your dogs go crazy after it. They dishonored themselves, dishonoring themselves through their bodies, appeasing their bodies. The trichotomy being, I just want what I want. I don't care what God says. I know what feels good to me, and that's what I'm going to do. And I don't care what anybody says to me. And it was a process, and it got worse. And the Jewish men at one time began to swap their daughters like little boys swap baseball cards. They wanted the virgin. They hated to give up theirs. Maybe with her begging her daddy not to let her go to another man's bed. But he wanted that other man's virgin daughter so bad, he sacrificed his own daughter. Because I want what I want. And all this was going on. Bruce Jenner got in that Kardashian family. I'm telling you. He had underlying things. But I'm going to show you the process. He began to make money off that show. He got his pie off that show. He got the parading off that show of heterosexual perversion. I'm going to say it in mixed company. I'm going to try to be as polite as I can be in mixed company. But yes, your kids, don't take them out. They need to hear this. This could salvage your kids, what they're being presented in school, and they're going to be presented in school. I was going through that stinking Kardashian show one day. I said, in the early stages, let me just see what everybody's talking about. Me and my wife, she was with me. I said, watch, stop right there and let's watch this. They were talking about buying the girls, national TV, excuse me, world television. They're going to buy sex toys. They're going to use them on their boyfriends. They were all laughing and giggling and see if it did this. And let's get together later and see what the results were from the sex toys that were the girls. Women, beautiful young girls. They're beautiful, but they're ugly. As a man, I'm telling you, they're ugly to me. I don't see beauty like some look at beauty. When I see all this going on, it becomes putrid. If I was lost, probably right now I'd have nothing to do with them. I don't want them around me. I don't want them around me. I ain't dating them. Y'all with me? It's ugly. And they were just laughing. Next show, they came back and told when they did it what the response was, comparison. And Bruce, that man that won the Olympics in 76, now I saw him become Caitlin. Here's your answer to what goes on. Individual, family, nation. How do you go from a decathlon winner to Caitlin? And be awarded the stinking mindset. Mindset! Be awarded the American ESPN SP Courageous Award. And I watched some of the athletes when Caitlin came on stage and who didn't get the award that needed it, that got second, third, and fourth. And I watched some of our macho athletes, their agents probably told them they were about to vomit and they wasn't spiritual. They couldn't handle it. But I watched some of our main athletes. They were thwart. But I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, hear me, that is in Christ. Now here's what I'm concerned about. Everybody watch me. Satan hates this message. I'm not just concerned about Bruce doing his deal. Bruce just needs Jesus. Bruce and the Kardashians, like mine and your relatives, need to be born again. My concern is the Facebook post that came on, that when I mentioned this situation and posted some things about it, being very black or white, no shades of gray, one of my evangelist friends out of Texas, Houston, made a statement. Hey, Robbie, isn't it amazing on here that not hardly any ministers have commented to back you up? The comments are all laymen. The comments are those that are sitting in the pew. I'm telling you, some of the preachers put like, not hardly any Pentecost preacher commented. And I'm telling you, me and my wife both took, you know what? People were crazy. If we post things about faith and victory and walking in miracles and faith and overcoming and the prosperity of the Lord, Him, you doing good. They were liking it and commenting, oh, the wonderful love of God. Oh, isn't grace, grace. Oh, brother, we got on this subject. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Marriage, the gender situation. And all of a sudden, we were attacked by all the faith, grace people. You ready? My main concern isn't Bruce Jenner to Caitlin. My main concern is the lack of response of people that go to Spirit-filled churches that just don't want to touch it. We're not going there. Pulpit and pew. Here's what happens. He turned them over to uncleanness. This is what. Here's your answer. Here's your answer. This is it. Here's what happened to Bruce. It's what happened to the United States of America. It's what's happening to some of your people and mine too. Every one of you are touched by lesbianism and homosexuality because we all, me and my wife do, we all have relatives that are in it. They're not battling it. They're totally given over to it. They're not changing. They love it. And now this 5-4 deal has put the knot in the string, man. It's tied it up. It's tied it up. And oh, God, I feel so good now. There's three stages you fall into, individual, family, nation. Three stages. It mentioned the first one he turned them over to. Watch this. Here's your answer. Uncleanness. I'm going to use the analogy of the door. I'm in a room. We were all born unclean with the Adamic sin. We sinned since we were born. So therefore, we're in a room of uncleanness. There's a knob on the door. I walk around in the room of uncleanness. If I keep rejecting Jesus, a process happens. I grab the knob, I open it up, I close the door behind me. I'm no longer in room uncleanness. I've now entered into room number two called perversion. Once I enter room of perversion, I began to do things that last year I laughed at. I began to do things that blow my own mind. The desensitizing of my spirit comes in. I'm beginning to have it harder and blurrier. It's blurrier on finding out what is wrong and what is right. I'm finding my mind begin to appease things and sweep it under the rug. I'm beginning in room number 2 to say, quit judging. Only God judges. Who are you to? You think you're perfect? And statements like this began to roll out of my mouth that never did in category 1. But now I'm in category 2. I'm walking around in perversion. I catch myself doing perverted things. But once I grab that third doorknob and I open it up and I walk in and I close the door behind me, I am now in a reprobate room. It is not that God would not forgive a reprobate. The mercy deal, I agree. Here's the deal. A reprobate won't ask Him. A reprobate individual, a reprobate family, and a reprobate nation will not repent because they don't see it like God sees it. Their mind, I fear, has been totally corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. They're all saying now, be what you want to be. Do what you want to do. I started getting Facebook hits. You ready? If I was pastor, they were fired on the spot. And I'm not mean, but I'm not putting up with this type of stuff. If I was a pastor and I saw worship leaders in huge assembly of, not Episcopalian, assembly of God churches, I quote it. I couldn't make this up. I wouldn't if I wanted to. I quote what they put on my Facebook. Are you ready? Now, worship leaders, after the Bruce Jenner scenario and comments. Now, y'all remember grace. Everybody remember grace. You know, we're all sinners. We all have sinned. We all needed the Lord. Da, da, da. Here we go. Here it comes. I agree with all that now, but watch the twist. One of them in a huge Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex, not far from me, made a statement. Here's the mentality. Do you all feel that maybe what has happened, Bruce Jenner has finally figured out who God created him to be in the first place? My wife came in, saw it before I did, threw the phone at me. Threw it, said, look at that. Look at that. We know the word female worship leader. Huge AG church. And she's worshiping this morning. She's still worshiping this morning. And believes like that. That's as close to blaming God that God made a mistake or whatever. Bruce strayed from Caitlin and became Bruce. See, mentality. Not even talking about an act or a sex change operation. I'm not even worried about that right now. I'm worried about the mentality. The mentality that these right here are being bombarded by. Because you all can't live with them all the time. And they're going to become young adults on their own. We got to pump them full now. Because if he can get your mind messed up. If he can get that mind perverted. You go from uncleanness to perversion. You leave perversion. If you and I do not win our relatives and friends to Christ out of category 1 or 2... once they enter the third room, it's over. I'm telling you, they're damned. It's over. I watch everybody, the passiveness, everybody being quiet. I watch it and I said, God, exactly what's happening? Watch this. Watch this statement. 10 till 12. Listen to me. Listen to me. I watch the seeker message. The seeker-friendly message. I said, God, what's happening? Why is it the mega churches of America, Assembly, Independent, all of them, these mega churches, the preachers keeping their mouth shut? They're not even mentioning it. They're mannerisms. We're not going there. Even some of them say, Jesus read a letter, though Paul and all of them wrote about it. And God's a God. Jesus is God of the Old Testament too. I didn't come to do away with it. Came to fulfill it. And yet they say, Jesus read a letter, never mentioned homosexuality. He mentioned adultery, and he mentioned fornication. He mentioned idolatry and the parables of error. But he never gave a parable on 2 men or 2 women. These are the type of answers that are coming forth. And I said, Eric, you're going to love this, Pastor. Here's your answer. I said, God, what is it? What in the world is it? Many of them, of course, won't even have a preacher like me. or him. They won't give us a time of day. I said, preaching the word like this, what is it? Why won't they even mention it? Their little passive Sunday morning, 3 points and a poem message. He said, Robbie, he said, they build these huge religious machines. They build multi-million dollar, tens of million land and buildings. They've got to pay, Robbie, for the religious machine that they created. He said they've become fallen into such a bondage that they can't even, or they will not preach the end time revelation that I'm trying to give them, because they know if they preach under the unction of the Spirit of God and they preach the end time revelation that I'm trying my best to give them to the masses in the mega churches that can have an impact on the community and their families, it will run off the people. They said they need the purses, the pocketbooks, the debit cards, the checkbooks, the credit cards. They need them, Robbie, to pay for what they've done. I thought to myself, my God, a prostitute isn't in bondage like that. A drug addict in L.A. and New York City, a pimp in Chicago isn't in bondage like that. That's the worst. That gets the gold medal of bondage of all bondage. That I have built something, created something, worrying about the numbers, got to have the income. And I sit behind a pulpit representing, talking for God and not just about Him. And I can't even give my people what He's trying to give me to give to them. It's ultimate bondage. I was with an old timer. He's dying. He's dying because of age. His body's wearing out. Old war horse. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost Pentecost preacher. His body's wearing out. His mind is as sharp as ours. He's 90-something years old. He's got the reputation of you. He stood strong all the years. He's never jumped on bandwagons and chased every new doctrine that blew through. He's a word preacher. Quote nearly all of it probably. He's lived a pure life. And he's passing away, about to go to heaven because of his body. And I leaned over to him. And his lip was quivering. He knows my Lutheran background, being brought in Pentecost. Not raised in this at all. His lips quivering. He's shaking. Tears are swelling up. Starting to stream down his cheek. And he says to me, you're one of the few left. Like that. You're one of the few. Robbie, don't change. Robbie, don't change. Robbie, he's begging me. He's begging me. Son, keep that paper a little quieter, okay? It's real quiet. He's begging me. I said, I won't. I said, but what do I do to get closer? What do I do to draw? Look what he said. He said, read the dead guy stuff. I said, huh? He said, read all the dead guy stuff. I said, read all the dead guy stuff. He said, I'm not mentioning names, Robbie. But a lot of this new stuff, this relevance, all of them talk relevance, got to be relevant. He said, find out the authors that are dead and get their books. Read all the dead guys stuff. Those that have already gone to heaven. So, you know, you get things, the dead guy stuff. You get things like, you know, A.W. Tozer. Who, when he told me that, I read. Most Christians, A.W. Tozer said, in the modern world, in the democratic free world, most Christians, I'm afraid, have done nothing more than add an orthodox Christianity to a heart that is totally sold out to the world. Robbie Mitchell version of that is what we battle with for years. The battle of all battles is getting American people to see they can't go to heaven just because they add Christ to what they already are. We just come in because everybody's sinners, aren't they? And we just add Christ to what we already are. No change. And we're okay. We've accepted Jesus. It's what A.W. Tozer meant. Now here's my point. I preached to the pastor this morning. I think he liked it. In all the relevance talk, It isn't about relevance in the sight of God. It's not about whether you wear a suit and tie on Sunday morning or your hair's long or short as a woman. Relevance is not whether you got a suit and tie or you take a real nice shirt that's very expensive and you untuck it, the style. Because let's face it, old timers, let's be real now. If you want to get serious about everything, watch, let me finish. You want me to dress like the early disciples that dipped their pen in ink and wrote the New Testament? Bring your bed sheet tonight. Bring me your bed sheet. I'm going to wrap it around me. Have Trevens and Pastor help me in the back. Bring me a rope that you tied your boat to the dock with this year. And let me, are y'all with me? Let me tie the rope in a nice certain knot around the bed sheet. It's going to hang and show my hairy legs from the knees down. And bring me some sandals or some flip-flops. Amen? And that's what I'm going to wear. And I'm going to grow me a beard and look pretty nappy. Now I'm going to get to looking nappy. And I'm going to have a little wild look about me. Amen? And that's what you're going to listen to tonight, tomorrow, and the next day. It ain't about that. Relevance is not about this subject. But listen to me as a 54-year-old Holy Ghost preacher that is liked by the young people. I'm looked at as a cool Holy Ghost guy. I'm not a fuddy-dud to them. Hear me what I'm saying. Hear me. I'm afraid with all the relevance talk, and some of our leading young preachers are constantly going to these Spirit-filled conferences that aren't Spirit-filled at all. And the whole issue of the subject is relevance. Treva, relevance, relevance, relevance for our day. Got to be so relevant. I'm afraid we've traded the anointing for cool. C-O-O-L. We're trading the anointing for cool. It's all about how cool our churches can be, how relevant our churches can be. So this is what the pulpits are doing, and the pews with scales on their eyes are loving it. They don't know how it's supposed to be. The anointing isn't there. We're raising an entire generation of young people that have never felt the fear of the Lord. And it's a parent's fault. They've never been in a service where they felt, you can't even explain it and preach it. You gotta feel it. You gotta be in on it when the fear of the Lord, like a blanket, like a fog, comes in the building. Not just the grace and the dancing. Not the circus, man. When the fear of the Lord and men fall down and cry out and begin to find somebody because they feel like they're going to bust to confess their sins. The altar call's in the pew. It's not up here at the steps. They can't wait. The fear of the Lord. They're being filled with the Holy Ghost. Sitting in the chairs. No preacher laying hands with oil. Holy Ghost is falling on them while Peter yet spake these words. The Holy Ghost fell. Whew. Here's my point. You can't Americanize Jesus. Y'all got to stop Americanizing Jesus. America started in 1776. Jesus wasn't conceived in Mother Mary's womb in 1776. America's only 239 years old. 2015 minus 1776, is that right? We're 239 years old. You're taking an eternal God that has no beginning, has no end. You can't put an age on Him and trying to make Him and His doctrine relevant with our culture instead of trying to make our culture and our nation relevant with an eternal God that has no shadow of turning and an arm that is not shortened that it can't reach out and touch us once again. We gotta quit, listen to me young preachers, we gotta quit trying to Americanize Christ. Look at me, listen to me, He's not an American. Jesus, this will blow you away. Listen to me, veterans and all, Christ isn't an American. He don't stand up when the flag flies on the right hand of the Father and salute it. He don't cross His heart on the throne when the national anthem's played. He's not an American. Whew. How do some of you sit there? If I had T.D. Jakes' church today, the light bulbs would be gone out of the ceilings. They'd kick the stinking light bulbs out with their feet. You gotta quit relevance. Relevant, brother. We gotta be relevant. Gotta be relevant. If we're gonna win the paper, we gotta be relevant. Quit Americanizing Christ. He's an eternal God. Join up with Him. Quit expecting Him to join up with everything you think you ought to do. Choo! I wish I could preach this to preacher's convention, but most of them won't let me in. They invite me to come and sit and enjoy me being there. God, I wish they'd ask me, are y'all hearing me? I noticed when I started preaching like this years ago as a young man, my invitations to preach to preachers stopped. Just the Holy Ghost pastors, the radical pastors were having me that wanted their people to hear this. So that radical pastor and I would go to the convention and sit by each other. Are y'all with me? Let me hurry. In our relevance, make sure you don't Americanize. In the midst of our relevance, make sure you don't Americanize. Two things and I'm through. Here's what I wanted you to see. The flood, Sodom and Gomorrah wiped out. Tyre and Sidon. People talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, but they don't talk about Tyre and Sidon. Jesus didn't bring up Sodom and Gomorrah to the scribes and Pharisees, giving him hell on earth, coming against him, falsely accused him. He's a wine bibber. The religious guys. It wasn't the prostitutes. It wasn't the drunks. It was the religious guys. He's a wine bibber. He's nothing. He's a whoremonger. We saw him hanging around some of the loose ladies. He doeth these miracles by Beelzebub. He's got a demon. He's demon possessed. 20 warned him, you better watch your mouth. He didn't warn him about the false sexual accusation. He didn't warn him about the wine, calling him wine bibber, drunk. He warned him about the abuse of the Holy Ghost, saying, I got a devil when it's the Spirit of God above the booze and the women. You better watch your mouth. Because you're doing something to the desensitizing of your heart. Lest your mind be corrupted, there's no return. If he can get you to think something about me that isn't right. What you think about God matters. Because what you think about God will determine the way you act when you leave here today and we're not looking at you. What you think about God matters. Not just how you lift your hand to Him when we're all together. Jesus talking to the scribes and Pharisees, they're coming against Him. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing, and I want you to hear this. He said, if Tyre and Sidon had heard all these parables you've heard me give, if they'd have seen the miracles you've seen with your eyes, they would have repented. Therefore, you have heard and seen, and you don't do anything with it, but come against it, judgment will be more harsh on you in that day than even Tyre and Sidon, and He destroyed them. So four cities, other than the flood, watch this revelation He gave me. He wiped out. I said, God, I don't understand. Because everybody says it's because of homosexuality. I said, but there's homosexuals in every town. There's lesbians every town. Today, back then too. I said, you're no respect of persons. You're very fair and just. I said, why Tyre and Sidon? Watch this. He said, I didn't destroy the earth and the flood just because of homosexuality. I didn't destroy Sodom, Gomorrah, Tyre, and Sidon because of just a bunch of homosexuals running around. He said, I destroyed the four cities because of the heterosexuals. I said, what? He said, in those four cities, everybody became passive. All the salt and the restraint was gone. All the heterosexuals that were populating the earth with their children were teaching their kids. Love is God. God is love. Honey, do you understand? Yeah, mama. Yeah, daddy. Who are we to tell people who to love? If they want to be intimate, it's what the Lord is all about. And the heterosexuals started damning their own kids from an innocent age because they corrupted their mindset.
And I fear lest by any means has the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. The heterosexuals started easing off in those four cities. And everybody started just saying, "You're born like that. They can't help it. Leave them alone. God is love. Sex is love. Who are you to tell them who to have sex with? Mind your own business. Stay in your own bed, nosy." Have you heard anything like this lately? You got any kids you raised in church that's coming against you? They're your blood kids. You raised them in a church like this. And they're saying, "Mom, Dad, ease off. Quit being old time. Let them love who they want to love." It ain't about the act to me. You ready? Y'all with me? It ain't about the act. It's about the mindset. Everybody's so much into the act. It's the mindset. The reason I preach like this. My God, man, this will save you kids today. This will salve it. You know the difference of this message? Heaven and hell. This could, one message could drop the scales off their eyes. And them go, "Oh my Lord. So what do we do?" Because it's the mindset that's possessing the White House. I'm telling you, nearly everybody. Even the pulpits and the pews. The leaders. Let me give it to you and I'm through. Jesus called you the salt of the earth. I've diagnosed, we feel so helpless right now. We know what their end is. It's bothering us. If it don't bother you, you ought to pray through till it bothers you. Get alone with God. I'm telling you, get away from your family, go to a cabin or whatever you got to do. Pray through till this bothers you. To where your passivity leaves and now you're bothered. You've lost some sleep over it. You're worried about them. You know their end. They're not worried about them. You're worried about them. Jesus was a name caller. He called scribes and Pharisees vipers. He called them full of poison. Generation of vipers. He called himself a door. What type of God called himself a door? But I understand the lingo. I'm the door that you walk through. Anybody that tries to climb up in the back of the house of eternal life, through the back window, you're like a thief in the midnight hours. You're not welcome. You got to come through the door. He called himself the light of the world. I understand that. Then he turns to his disciples right before his ascension and said, "You are the salt of the earth. Guys, I'm leaving you with it. I'm not going to be here physically anymore. I'm not going to show up at the headboard and footboard of your bed. That would be my second coming. That means when I really come, it'd be my third coming. There ain't three. I'm not going to show up physically anymore. This ascension is it. You're going to have to stay connected to me a different way. I'm not going to be there to step in on the debate and interrupt and finish it for you. I'm turning it over to you by my Spirit that's going to be in you." What type of God would call his followers before his ascension salt? I thought, why did he call them salt? Salt is a preserving element. You pack anything in salt properly, it'll preserve it. If the salt don't lose its savor and just become white pebbles out of a shaker, if a salt just becomes substance, and it loses its savor. If the salt will guard its savor, what makes it salt is not the pebble, it's the savor in it. If the salt keeps its savor, it's a preserving element. The only thing that's kept this nation from plunging into an irrecoverable darkness is the stupid, mocked, ignorant-looking church, by the way. The liberals call us of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the only thing that has preserved this earth. It would already be gone. Listen to me. And that's going to be the hell of the tribulation period.
It's not just going to be weird things flying around, coming out of the earth and all that. I'm telling you now, whether it's symbolic or literal, listen to me. The hell of the tribulation period is this. When the trumpet of God sounds, all the salt's going to be gone. All the savor in the salt and the salt's out of here. The earth will begin to moan and groan. You ready for this? Your next door nice neighbor, that flies a flag on the 4th of July, his family fought in every war. He talks to you about the wars, the news, the weather, the dogs, the hedge, the grass, the weeds in the grass. Listen to me. He feeds and waters your dog and mows your yard when you go on vacation. He's a nice next door neighbor. But they're Christ rejectors. And you can't go to heaven because you fly a flag and fight devils in wars. Hear me. He don't want to talk to you about, he'll talk to you about everything but Jesus. In that tribulation, your next door nice neighbor that's lost is going to be left behind. When the next door nice neighbor's born again neighbor's gone, your nice next door neighbor that's lost is going to become outward. What he's always been inward. It's going to be like instantly at the sound of a trumpet in the twinkle of an eye, that quick as you are gone, he's going to turn outward what he's always been inward. The heart, David said, is desperately wicked. Whew! It's good preaching, boy. And the earth's going to turn. The people are going to be like that. Salt is a preserving element. You ready for this? Number two, real quick. Salt. Ooh, I love this. Salt is a healer. Salt is a healer. Doth not nature itself teach you that when a dog gets injured, he don't have to have a vet? God's given him a natural something. Not his tongue, not just the saliva on the tongue. He's got salt in the saliva that's on the tongue that is transferred to a wound. That dog can stick that tongue out, lick that wound, and watch the healing process begin. It isn't sugar or pepper in the tongue. In that saliva, salt. Salt, you ready? When you pour it in an open wound, help me doctors, when you pour it in an open wound, it stings like fire. It's uncomfortable. But when that sting starts the healing process, you pour sugar in an open wound, it'll infect it and speed up the infection. That's when Jesus didn't sit the disciples down. I got a lot of preachers in mind right now. Again, I'm thinking about them. I won't mention the name, but I'm sure wanting to. He didn't sit the disciples down right before his ascension and going, I'm going to tell you guys right now, you just took my heart so much. You are the sugar. You are so, Eric, you're the sugar of the earth. You cute little joker, you. You are the sugar of the earth. Just kiss up to him. Get in that pulpit and, oh, find the money people and get you a sermon to the poor and just kiss up. When there's adultery and there's fornication, everybody's getting drunk and partying, and everything looks, oh God, woo, here we go. When we're drinking our alcohol and, let me get back to the sugar deal a minute, amen. When we're drinking our booze and we're partying with the rest of them, just preach the love of God. Just grace, brother. You want to please me, the Lord said. Thus saith the Lord, kiss up to everybody. And don't ever come against what they're doing. Because God is love. You're not sugar. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its savor, wherewith will you season it? Salt stings like fire, but it heals. You ready for this one? You're going to love it. Ready? Salt creates thirst. Salt creates thirst. I don't care if it's a tongue of a human or the tongue of a lizard or a dog. You put salt on the tongue of any living thing and an instant thirst begins. An instant thirst begins. Are you listening? I'm setting you up. How many people has been thirsty at work lately because of you for the Lord? Young people, how many students in school, college, or whatever? How many students have had a thirst bill lately? They want to start asking about the Lord because you've been around them. Because you got the salt. See, when you're around them and they're not ever thirsty for the Lord, We're blaming them. Nobody wants God anymore. Nobody wants God. Oh, hold on a minute. Could it be the salt has lost its savor? And nobody, oh God, parents, kids, nobody around you ever ask about the Lord. Because you've lost something in your salt. You are the salt of the earth. I got news for you. Those little kids you're raising, you've birthed. You hadn't brought them into a generation. It almost isn't fair. You're birthing and raising them in a generation. You better step it up. I'm going to scare the you-know-what out of you right here. Your kid don't stand a 50-50 chance of going to heaven. I wish it was 50-50. It ain't 50-50. I don't know how high it is. I'd say 90-something to a single-digit heaven part. Because of the generation we have had our children in, and my grandchildren now in as babies. I got to step it up at home even. I can't just preach this to you. I've got to keep it before my family. They will be deceived in the last days. You still with me? Did you get anything? It's the evangelist viewpoint of what the pastor's already taught you. I guarantee it, I didn't hear his message. It was perfect unity. I guarantee it because I know him. Perfect unity. Bow your head, everybody. It's 12:17. I know you're coming back. Thank you, Treva. I know you're coming back tonight. I really want to pour myself out this morning because I won't go into this subject anymore. I take one service. I've gone into it. This will be it. Mike Huckabee, who I love, as the heads are bowed and the music will begin. Mike Huckabee, after the 5-4 Supreme Court vote on gay marriage, told Megan on Fox News interview, he said, "Megan, I'm afraid that with this vote, we are now going to see, possibly in America, the criminalization of Christianity. I'm afraid this could lead, I've got a fear this could lead to the criminalization of Christianity." Some of our main leaders are now spokesmen for the LGBT. We're seeing Tony Campolo, one of the leading evangelicals of years ago, make the statement in his 80s recently that I now support the gay agenda. And we have found out that while he was doing the evangelistic thrust on certain campuses in different places, his wife for years has been an LGBT spokeslady. And been backing them. All this is out now. They came forth. So I'm not picking. I'm repeating what they have said. I want you right now to bow your head. Tonight through Tuesday, I will lay hands on every one of you. A church this size, I will pray for all of you. Everything you need in your life, I'm going to try to cover it in these 4 services. That's reading it's so important for you to be here with your children. But I'm going to ask this question right now, this morning. Uncleanness to perversion to reprobate. Are you in either one of these rooms, any one of these rooms today? Has this room captivated your life and you find yourself walking around in it?